You're listening to Cannabis Health Radio. Here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
Welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
It was July 6 years ago that my co-host, Corey Yellen, whom you just heard, was diagnosed with anal canal cancer. And Corey, when the month of July arrives, is there something in your gut that tells you, makes you uncomfortable about it?
It brings up some emotion, and it certainly causes me to reflect. As you're aware, I was given a death sentence 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, told I had 2 to 4 months. But it's also time for reflection on how much I've grown and how much I've changed and how much the path of my life has altered since then.
How is your health today compared to, say, 10 years ago? Let's go back prior to your diagnosis.
It's way better than it was 10 years ago.
Way better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you've had people tell you that you look completely different than
yes.
you did.
Yes. Even initially when I first started taking oil, a lot of my friends were supportive, and some of them, it's not that they weren't supportive. I think they were very skeptical. And even the most skeptical of my friends, after a few weeks of me being on oil, would come up to me and say, "Oh my God, you know, you look totally different." And I would walk by people on the street and they wouldn't recognize me because I went from this crumpled up little old lady to somebody who was vital and alive.
We should mention that prior to your diagnosis of cancer, you had some heart issues, didn't you?
I did. I had a heart attack in May of 2007. I had double bypass surgery. My recovery was pretty tumultuous. That Christmas, or just after Christmas, one of my two daughters looked at me and said, "You know, Paul, and I didn't expect you to make it till Christmas." But I was left with a condition called post-sternotomy syndrome, as well as having a malaligned sternum from the sternotomy. And it was very painful. So I spent just short of 5 years in agony. So when I was diagnosed with cancer, I already had a really poor quality of life. I mean, I don't know if you can really even call it life. You know, I just went from pain pill to pain pill.
Pain pill to pain pill.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've noticed about you is that you seem to have actually more energy than when I first met you, I guess, about almost a year and a half ago.
Oh, really?
Was it longer than that? Yeah. I think you've got more energy.
Yeah, I feel like I just keep getting better and better. And as I was saying to you before we started recording, I was out with a couple of friends last night, acquaintances that I met 3.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they commented on the change in my appearance even from then. You know, and at that time, I had already cleared myself of cancer 3.5 years ago. But so it's almost like I just keep getting better and better.
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned from knowing you, Corey, is that taking that, I guess it would be almost microdosing the CBD and THC, the 3.5 milligrams of CBD and the 3 milligrams of THC every day, I really notice a difference because I was off it for a couple of weeks, maybe 3 weeks, and maybe it was the weather here, but mm-hmm. I don't know. I just didn't feel the same. Mm-hmm. Then when I started taking it again, the energy level just, it's almost imperceptible.
Yeah.
But you just think, this is a little different.
Yeah.
And I don't take large doses of it.
No.
And when I've taken more than a couple of pills a day, I even feel better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that I've noticed that you've... one of the problems that you've created for me, Corey Yelland.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I remember when you first started taking CBD, and I asked you, well, you know, what do you think? You said, oh, I didn't really feel any different. Because you don't. It's very subtle, and then it starts to build up.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You don't notice it, and then you think, where did that pain go?
Yeah, yeah. Or you notice it when you run out of CBD, and then you go, cripes, why am I hurting or aching or whatever the case may be.
So if you haven't heard Corey's story, Corey's full story is on episode one, but we're just kind of giving you an update today because July marks the month in which Corey was diagnosed. When were you diagnosed being cancer-free?
I think it was it'll be coming up 5 years in October. I think around October. I'll have to look at the actual date. See, I was probably cancer-free a lot sooner than a year later. I waited a year to go to the doctor because, keeping in mind, I was completely on my own then as far as how to dose, how much to take. There were no Facebook groups or anything like that. So I understood you had to do 60 grams in 90 days of cannabis oil. Mm-hmm. Well, I certainly didn't do 60 grams of cannabis oil in 90 days, and I certainly didn't get up to that revered 1 gram a day. So in my mind, I was convinced that I still had cancer. So I waited the year and then I thought, I better go just kind of get a gauge of where I'm at. And, that's when I went to the doctor and he couldn't believe his eyes. He examined me 3 times. He just couldn't believe it. And he said, it's gone. It's completely gone. He said, if I didn't know that you had had cancer, I would say that you were up, that this was completely healthy tissue.
Did he know what you were doing?
He did. He was amazing. So this guy, when I told him what I was doing, was way back, he had done the diagnostic procedures, surgery, and this was a follow-up. And, of course, he knew that it was cancer and it was pretty bad. And so when I walked in, he said, so how's radiation going? And I said, well, we need to talk. And I proceeded to tell him about having watched that video, Run from the Cure, and researching cannabis oil, and that I'd made a decision to do that. And he didn't know anything about cannabis oil, and he said, so I can't comment. But when he listened with rapt attention while I explained all about it for 10, 15 minutes, and at the end of that, he walked across the room, and he got down on one knee, and he took my hands in his, and he said, I want you to know that I completely support you in what you're doing, and I'll follow you and support you as a physician.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, that was
wow.
That was remarkably different from my GP, who put his hands over his ears and went na 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 and didn't or la 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 and didn't want to hear what I was doing. And I have to say, in my GP's defense, that he did a 180 when I cleared myself, and now he thinks cannabinoids are amazing, Corey.
Well, they really are. And Bob Bellamy, we interviewed yesterday.
Yes.
I mean, he's a perfect example. Bob has health issues as well. And, I mean, that's great. So when you were declared cancer-free, what was that like for you emotionally?
Well, when he said, it's gone, it's completely gone, and I was, like, in disbelief. Even now, just, you caught that pause? It was just like, whoa. I was, like, stunned, because I just knew that it couldn't possibly be gone because I hadn't done the right amount of oil. And then he said, I want to take you into the OR and do some biopsies just to make sure. And I thought, okay, well, he's going to find the odd little cell still, but this is still really, really good news. So we did that whole procedure, and I remember going back to his office, and he walked in, and he had a piece of paper in his hand, and he looked at me, and he said, you did it. And I said, what? He said, you did it. You're cancer-free. You did it. And I couldn't believe it. It was just, because I remember looking at this cannabis oil and thinking, this tube of black shit is going to save my life,
It even gets you today, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, absolutely it does. And I remember, when I went in the first time, when he said, he couldn't see it and that it was gone, I remember coming out and I had been crying because I was just so stunned it was gone. And I was there with a couple of friends and they thought the worst, okay? And then we walked out and so they're buckling themselves and bracing for, you know, to hold me when we get out the door because they can tell that something big has gone down. And we get out the door and I look at them and I say, it's gone. And it was just, we were all crying. It was like, oh my God. Yeah.
So when you took the oil, Corey, I don't think I've ever asked you, did you notice any difference with your heart condition?
No. Some people are able to get off of their blood pressure, high blood pressure medication. That hasn't happened for me yet.
So you still take blood pressure medication?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which I don't like at all, but I'm hoping that, you know, I always think the oil kind of works on what it needs to work on first.
Yeah.
You know, and I've certainly, you know, talked to other professionals who have said the same thing. In the beginning, my heart would do a bit of racing and stuff, and I was really scared about that, you know, but I persevered because I thought, well, what's a little racy heart, you know, compared to dying of cancer? And, after about a month or so, it settled down. So, you know, I know certainly that since then I've spoken to people who have experienced that and are really afraid. And, you know, to them I say persevere through it because it will go away if it's anything like what happened to me.
One of the questions we get asked almost daily on the show, Corey, through emails to our website on Facebook is, where do I get oil? Now, when you started, There was hardly anything about oil.
Correct. Yeah.
And all of a sudden, in the last few years, it's just exploded.
Yes.
So I always tell people through email that we don't sell oil.
Oil. No, we don't.
And
let's be really clear about that. We don't sell oil. I don't sell oil. I have never sold oil.
Rick Simpson doesn't
Rick
sell
Simpson
oil.
Rick Simpson does not sell oil.
No. Scammers in the UK sell oil.
Yes. So if anybody gets a message from Rick Simpson offering to sell oil, don't buy it. Don't buy it, and literally don't buy it, because it's a scam. I can tell you that Rick Simpson does not sell cannabis oil, and Rick Simpson will not send you a friend request on Facebook.
Yeah, Rick also posted something on his Facebook page saying he does not sell oil.
Yeah.
Now, doing the show, when we started this on October 17th of 2016, it was really an eye-opener for me because my knowledge of cannabis at the time was very limited.
Yeah.
And some would say it's very limited today.
Well, but, I think you've come a long way. You've come a long way, Ian.
But I think one of the things that I've learned doing these interviews, and you are interview number 180, but in doing these interviews, it's just absolutely incredible to me some of the tragic health issues that people have to live with, or they have to live, or one of their relatives or their child has.
Yes.
And cannabis has done just some remarkable things in saving people's lives.
Yes, and changing people's lives.
And changing people's lives. And I'm astounded by it. I'm taken aback sometimes.
Yeah.
And you weren't here, but when I interviewed the fellow in Vietnam who had this just horrific growth behind his ear.
Yes.
And you could see the picture of it and just it popped out.
Yeah.
And he said it was infected and people could smell him.
Mm-hmm.
It was that
rotting.
It was rotting.
Yeah.
And as a result of putting antibiotics on it and shrinking it a little bit and then putting cannabis oil on it externally and taking it internally, it's just kind of a pink mark there now.
It's amazing.
And we've talked to other people who were on their deathbed.
Yes. Yeah.
And
and are alive and well and cancer-free.
And are alive and well and cancer-free.
Yeah, I have that little girl in Serbia. That's the one I always think of.
Yeah, tell that story, because I don't think you've told... Did you tell that on the very first episode? I'm not sure.
I don't know if I did or not, but I'll tell it again. So about almost five years ago, I was contacted on Skype, via Skype, by a Serbian woman living in London who was calling me about her sister, who still lived in Serbia and had a five-year-old child. And this little girl had a tumor between the brain and the skull. And they had done all the chemo and radiation that they could do. And she had been sent home. She was very ill and she was dying. And this was, you know, just her last days. And she was pretty much unconscious. Her organs were starting to shut down. But she was seizuring almost constantly, I guess, from the pressure on the brain. And so the sister was saying to me, did I think cannabis oil would help ease that? And they recognized that it was too late to save the child, but would it help ease the seizuring? Because the sister freaked every time it happened. And I said, yeah, I think so. Anyway, pointed them, you know, in the right direction. And of course, I just, you know, in quotations, knew she had died. Well, a year later, I get this really emotional email from the parents saying the little girl's up and playing, the tumor's 75% gone, and they're going to go visit relatives on the weekend that they haven't seen in 3 years because she's been too sick to travel. And I was just blown away. And then a couple of months later, I get another email from them saying they've changed her name from Anna to Bojana, which means little warrior, that she's back at school. Here's a picture of her in her Christmas concert. And, oh, that tumor, it's 100% gone. So Bojana, I had an email about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. This the five-year-old just mm-hmm. celebrated her ninth birthday. She's 100% cancer-free.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So that always gets me.
Yeah, the story that I mean, all of the stories are really fascinating. And I think one of the stories that was very impactful was Doug Bench, the judge in
yes.
Florida.
Yes, he's an amazing man.
Who sentenced 311 people to jail
yes.
for marijuana possession or marijuana issues. And when he got COPD, what happened was his wife did research, got some cannabis oil, told him to take it. He refused. And he refused for 6 days. And on the seventh day, she was going to pack up and move out. And he decided to try it. And that night, he put half a grain of size of a half a grain of rice under his tongue.
Yeah.
Didn't like the taste of it. But next thing he knew that his wife was standing beside him. And he said, am I high? She says, no, you just slept for 7.5 hours.
Yeah.
And now he educates people and helps people with on his ranch in Colorado.
Yes.
And
It's changed his life.
It's changed his life.
Yeah. And it's changed my life. It's completely changed my life.
Yeah. It's changed my life, too, actually.
Yeah.
after getting fired a year ago from commercial radio and now living in poverty trying to do this. So one of the things we should tell people that if they would like to support Cannabis Health Radio, just go to our webpage and there's a donate button on there and you can make a donation. If everyone donated even a dollar.
Yeah, it would sure make a difference.
It would sure make a difference because yeah. we don't... we get very, very little money for doing this.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of time to try and track down people to do the interviews and edit the interviews.
It's pretty much a full-time job.
And yeah, the website and the technical issues, which are just bloody awful.
Because Ian is not a techie.
No, that's
and
right.
nor am I.
Yeah. And what do you think, Corey, in celebration today, why don't we make this offer? And I just thought of it. And
yeah, and I'm looking at you going, what offer?
Yeah,
so, okay.
What offer? If people want to advertise or sponsor Cannabis Health Radio, let's give them 2 months for the price of one.
All right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And if anyone wants more information, just email us at info@cannabishealthradio.com. Yeah. Yeah, I like doing this. This is actually a lot of fun because
yeah.
It's very, very educational.
Yeah, it's amazing. Some of the wonderful people that we talk to, the people that are really brave and step forward and share their stories with us and have had cannabis impact their life in such a positive manner that they want to share it so other people can enjoy health, which is basically why we're doing this. We want to save lives. We want to get the word out there. That there is a choice. You know, you can feel better.
Yeah. Corey, if you were trying to find out where to buy cannabis oil today, how would you do it? No matter where you live.
I mean, oh,
it's just research, isn't it?
Research. Please, please be careful of scammers. There are so many scammers. Never order online. because more than likely it will be a scam. I myself know of there's a lot of people that are very reputable and have integrity who are producing a really quality product. And, you know, I'm aware of some of those people. So people can always message me and I can certainly make some suggestions of where to look. The other thing, you know, Rick always says is make it yourself. That can be pretty intimidating. And often people who come to us or are looking for oil are pretty sick. Because often they're not choosing it as a first choice. This is after they've had chemo and radiation and stuff. One of the things that Ian and I hope to be doing in the very near future is promoting a machine that you can use in your home, that you can use on your kitchen counter to produce your own medicine that does not have any risk of explosion.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing. I don't want to say too much about it right now until we know a bit more. But this would give people an option to be able to make their own medicine and to be able to do it safely.
Yeah. And I think it's odor-free, isn't it?
It is.
Odor-free.
It is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's something that we're looking forward to doing. It's should happen probably, hopefully, within a couple of months.
Yeah, well, a couple of months or I was going to say a month, but yeah, we'll say a couple of months just because if anything can go wrong, it will.
It will go wrong, that's right. Yeah. Corey, I'm wondering, where do you see the cannabis industry going in the next few years?
Wow, I don't know. I have a vision of where I'd like to see it go. You know, I mean, we're looking at this whole legalization thing here in Canada. You know, we're talking to Bob yesterday, and he's talking about, you know, how much further ahead they are, you know, over in the Balkans. And the industry itself within Canada, I think it's going to depend very much on how that ruling comes out for legalization in Canada.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that people are going to be able to grow and that they're going to be able to grow enough for what, you know, for what they need. I think that, you know, people have to be able to have that option.
Well, under legalization now, when it comes into effect in July of 2018, each household would be allowed to grow four plants, which, yeah, I think is a mistake, because if you have three people in the household, you're only allowed four plants.
Mm-hmm.
But if you live alone in an apartment, you can still have four plants.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But one of the problems with this is that each province in Canada comes up with the rules and regulations surrounding cannabis.
Yeah, so it could be different.
Yeah, just like
liquor laws.
Legalization in the state of California, for example, both recreationally and medically, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, listeners, if a town or a county wants to prohibit the sale of cannabis, it can. I may be wrong, but
I don't know.
In any event, it's a mishmash in North America. It's a bit of a mess all over. Some states are legal. It's legal medically in Canada. But it's just hopefully this will be resolved over the next couple of years and there'll be a level playing field. Because I think the momentum with respect to legalization is starting to pick up, and even Bob said yesterday,
yes,
that it will be legal within the next couple of years.
Yeah, that's,
and I think it gets to the point where if the public demands it, the politicians,
yes,
have to,
yeah,
make it legal.
And I'm sure hoping that's the way it goes. Because, you know, you look at what's going on in Michigan now, you know, with Peter O'Toole and a number of people. And I know, you know, speaking with Robin Swan earlier this week, you know, it's like California's going backwards in progression of the whole cannabis thing as well.
Backwards in what sense?
Oh, they're making it more difficult. You're going to have to, if you're producing, you have to be in an industrial area, and the licenses are going to be thousands and thousands of dollars. And, you know, it's almost like they're putting up as many possible roadblocks as they can.
Mm-hmm. Corey, of all the interviews we've done, are there any that stand out for you that are impactful?
Oh, gosh, there were a lot.
I mean, they all are.
They were. Bill McDonald.
Oh, he's the guy that lost 150 pounds.
All that weight
pounds.
And had the thyroid cancer and stuff.
Yeah.
Doug Bench, the judge. The Huntington's case that we talked about the other day.
Yeah.
There's just so many. You know, each of them, I leave here some days and I think, how do people cope? You know, some of the things that people are going through or have gone through and are still alive and or battling absolutely floors me.
Do you know, that's exactly the same way I feel, too. I think, how can people deal with that day after day, especially when you have kids who have a terrible illness?
Yeah. That would be the worst, having a child with health issues. And yet, on the other hand, it's so wonderful to hear about the difference that cannabis has made in these people's lives.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, and Corey, I didn't know that we have a bit of a following in the UK.
Right.
And we have talked to a number of people in the UK who've been extremely supportive of Cannabis Health Radio. And we would like to give a shout out to those folks in the UK because I realize it's very difficult for them to access cannabis because it's illegal.
Yes.
CBD is illegal.
And
I believe.
So many scammers over.
So many scammers out there. Yeah. So where are we going in the next few years, Corey Elland? I have no idea.
I have no idea either. I'm hoping that we're still going to be doing this show and we're reaching more and more people. And we can't do it without people's support, though, as you're well aware.
Yeah, we need the support of individuals to... I mean, it doesn't have to be a large financial support, but we need support to continue doing this. We know there are sponsors out there and advertisers out there, but we just haven't connected with them yet.
Yeah.
And we send them information on our rates, and I don't think our rates are unreasonable at all.
No.
It's $500 a month to advertise. And if you want sponsorship, which includes an interview and us mentioning your product, it's $1,200 a month. And coming from commercial radio, those are very, very reasonable rates.
Yeah.
I guess the issue, Corey, though, is that we're in a business that is...
In a gray area.
In a gray area.
Yes.
And it's very difficult for businesses to step up, even though they probably want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And what are you looking at me like that for?
Well, I'm thinking, I'm just kind of going in my head of all the people I've talked to and helped and zoning in on hormone-driven breast cancer because it's my nightmare and, just trying to think about what the best ratio for people with that is. And, when I first started helping people, it was all about high THC, one fix fits all. And now, as the years go by, we're gaining more and more knowledge about cannabis and the different terpenes and cannabinoids, et cetera, and the roles that they play. And it's trying to find that sweet spot with everybody for something that works for them.
Mm-hmm.
With hormone-driven breast cancer, I have helped clear hormone-driven breast cancer with high THC. Although the rumor is, or it's more than a rumor, that's poor choice of words. The evidence now points to the fact that often with hormone-driven breast cancer, THC will drive that cancer. So you want a higher CBD and a lower THC ratio. So either a 2-to-1, 3-to-1. I spoke to a woman yesterday who's been very successful so far in battling her hormone-driven breast cancer, and she's estrogen positive and HER2 positive. And she's doing a 5-to-1 ratio of CBD to THC.
Yeah, we're all different.
We're all different, and it depends how much we need, I think, and how our body processes it. And I wish there was a pat answer. Oh, you're estrogen positive? 2 drops of this, 1 of that, 3 times a day.
No, it doesn't work that way.
And unfortunately, it doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't work that way at all.
It doesn't work that way. But, you know, often people will call me and they say, you know, do you think it's too late? I've got this and this going on. Do you think it's too late? And I'll say to them, do they have a heartbeat? Because if they've got a heartbeat, there's still a chance. Yes, you've got hope. You've absolutely got hope. Mm-hmm. You know, I was just flashing on a guy that I spoke to, and I remember this very clearly because it was Christmas
Eve.
Yeah,
you should qualify that and say, flashing on a guy, then there was this long pause that I spoke to.
Yeah, well, you know how it is. I spoke to him on Christmas Eve a year ago, and he was 32 years old, and he had stage 4 melanoma. No, melanoma, no. That's wrong. Pancreatic cancer, stage 4, with mets, I want to say, to the bones.
That's like a death sentence.
Oh, absolutely. They'd given him a couple of months. And I'm looking at this very ill man in front of me, calling me from New York. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, I don't know. I think this is a palliative situation. You know, and I said to him, well, there's always hope. The very least the cannabis oil will do is give you a quality of life that you wouldn't have had otherwise. 5 months later, he called me and he was cancer free.
Wow.
High THC. Yeah. You know, and that is something, Ian. We don't win all the time with mm-hmm. cannabis oil. Cannabis oil has about an 80% success rate. Mm-hmm. Chemotherapy has a 3% success rate. Often these people come to me when they're out of options and their bodies are ravished by chemo and radiation and they're very, very ill and their cancers are very advanced. In every single case where we have lost somebody, without exception, every single time, the family, whoever, the friend has said what a difference the oil made to that person's quality of life.
Mm.
In every single case, I haven't had one time where they haven't said that.
Yeah.
So I think in itself, what an option that is to have your loved one, if they're going to go peacefully, not be in agony.
Absolutely.
What a gift to that person. Yeah. If it is their time to go, to be able to ease them through it. Yeah.
Well, Corey, it's our time to go.
It's our time to go.
And did we ease you through it? Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Your diagnosis of being cancer-free. We'll keep counting the years.
Yes.
And when we reach 100, you're on your own.
Oh, thanks, Ian. Well, that's because you're older than me and you won't be here.
Smart ass. Thanks for listening, everyone. And remember, you can go to our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and make a donation to help us out. Thanks, Corey.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Cannabis Health Radio podcast. Visit our website, cannabishealthradio.com, and follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
How do cannabis CEOs balance growth and optimization strategies? What is THCO, Delta-10, and CBNA, and why should you care about these minor cannabinoids? And why isn't the endocannabinoid system covered in medical school? Most people think they're up to date in trends in the cannabis industry, but they're about 6 weeks behind. Learn about what is truly next in the cannabis space by joining myself, Brian Fields, and Kellen Finney every week on the Dime Podcast and, of course, on PodConnects.